Now back to The People's Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hour two of The People's Show. Thanks for listening on podcast, on the Sportsnet app, wherever you may be listening. We do have a pair of Canucks tickets to give away a little bit later on in the show. Also, a pair of tickets to see Alice Cooper at the Abbotsford Center a little bit later on next year. So be tuning in for that. Lots of giveaways here on The People's Show to come. Reacting to Francesco Aquilini and Stan Smeal speaking to media just moments ago, we're going to hear Bruce Boudreau in a few minutes. His first time speaking to the media here in Vancouver as the new coach of this club. Randeep, what was your takeaway from hearing from the owner today?
A lot to digest on that press conference, but a few things stressed. Looking back at the past, I thought Bick's question right at the end was a good one, is why did you have to wait for a reaction from the fans? And Francesco Aquilini saying he's hoping for a turnaround. Maybe he was too optimistic. It's an interesting admission from an owner where when you talk about turning things around, you know, could you have done it a little differently? I thought from that, beyond that, guys, questions about the search are very, very intriguing because you have, according to the owner, open to everything. Everything is on the table. You know, that GM president role is something that they would look at. So when we talk about the future, that's the one I look at to say, you know, he was very adamant that, you know, owners own, managers manage, coaches coach and players play, and you can't step outside those lines. So he disputed that that was the case. But moving forward, though, the being open to a president, being open to former employees, that really is an interesting development on that front. And, you know, Stan Smeal, I think that was the, in a lot of ways, the big winner of that press conference because he's coming back from a situation where, you know, this is a guy that bleeds Vancouver Canucks blue.
Yep.
And you felt that in that press conference. And accountability, player accountability, organizational accountability, feels like that's Dan Smeal's job going forward here for the rest of the year at the very least. So that was from an ownership perspective, there's a lot of questions that came out of that press conference. But Stan Smeal has authority, according to him, that moving forward, he has the ability to make moves if needed and will be featured prominently in that search process for GM/president or whatever that role is.
As I tweeted, impossible to ignore the passion and the pride that Stan Smeal speaks about this organization, speaks with about this organization. You can feel it, and he really cares. And he made it pretty apparent, Sat, that you know, he wanted to be a louder voice within the organization.
Well, he mentioned that seeing the jersey on the ice encouraged him to be a bit louder with his thoughts on everything, right? So it shows you how unacceptable he thought this entire situation was. And he also mentioned earlier in the press conference that everybody was waiting for something to happen. Right, and this needed to happen. Everybody needed something to happen. The finger pointing was going on, and he kind of mentioned these situations: the coach at the GM, GM at the coach, players at the coach, and all the finger pointing happens. And it's clear he's pointing towards how it kind of just unraveled here late with the organization. And it's something I thought was interesting when I asked Francesco, "What did you learn over the past 7 years?" And he brought up, "Got to have a better culture. Got to have a culture," and that's the thing. I think a culture also is a big word for having a plan, having an identity.
It can be an easy word.
It's an easy word, but
it's a buzzword.
It is a buzzword, but it does actually get at the root of what this Canucks team has been lacking over the past 7 and a bit years. A real coherent culture, identity as a team, and a plan. It kind of changed. And what did Steve Smeal say? We don't have an identity. We had to find an identity as an organization. We had to get back to our values as an organization is something that was brought up by Stan Smeal. And even Francesco talked about, I got to learn about building a culture. That's so important. I don't think the program nor the culture was nearly good enough over the past 7 years. And I do think it's very evident when you see Stan speak as passionately about things that what has happened over the years, and at least most recently, whether it's that last year and a bit, has not sat well with them.
Yeah, the culture part, communication, you know, these are all things that have been lacking in the Jim Benning era, you know, and I think those are major things you have to have in an organization, especially in today's day and age, has to be more of a collaborative. But, you know, there's still some red flags there, you know, when Francesco speaks, owners own, managers manage, coaches coach, players play. Sure, but at the end of the day, what did he say? The general manager brings me the plan. Yep. If I like it, I'll support it.
Yeah.
If I like it. So,
and he essentially admitted that he spoke to Boudreaux's agent and made an offer. Like, he was essentially driving the bus on the coaching hire.
Yeah. So he's still involved, and, you know, we'll see if the next GM or president, however that structure looks, if Francesco does take a bit more of a step back.
Another interesting moment during that press conference was when he was asked specifically about Marc Bergevin, and he mentioned that apparently Marc Bergevin would like some time away, but he has not talked to Marc Bergevin. So that was a very, very interesting kind of moment in the press conference as well. So, you know, we talk about that future. And yes, it's easy to say owners own, you know, managers manage, but in the end, I think we all understand there's a reality, which is the boss does approve everything.
Yeah.
But how involved are they on the daily basis? How involved are they in the organizational direction? There was another moment saying the new incoming GM or president or whatever it may be is going to decide whether it's a rebuild or not. Those are pretty strong words, and that's a pretty bold statement. Now, how much of the city actually believes that?
It's, I mean, that's what these next games are so much about, is finding out more about this team, if they can get it back on track under Bruce Boudreaux. From a procedural standpoint, Stan Smill, he was very forceful, you know, and wanted his feelings to be known here, but also was very adamant in that, like, if I'm going to do this interim GM thing, I don't just want to be like a placeholder. Like, I want to be able to do stuff while
not a figurehead.
I don't want to just be a figurehead, is essentially how he put it. Stan Smill wants to be involved, and he wants to have a bit of an imprint here on this next little while, however long it may last, as interim GM.
Well, he's that rare individual in this market that's done everything, right? He's played, he's coached, he's been an executive, he's done everything in the city. So therefore, he's in that unique circumstance where he can call out players, kind of where he stressed accountability. So to that, guys, it is a refreshing thing to see in this market, but he's very unique in this market as well, right? Like, there's only one or two people, really one person that can do that, and that is Stan Smill. So they're lucky to have him in the organization. But what follows here is going to be the big question. You know, he's going to be assisting in that search. As he mentioned, he has the ability to make moves. What does that mean in real time? Because press conferences are great, but what does that mean once, you know, we get closer to that trade deadline, or once a search officially gets going here?
Well, and you know, as people are asking us a lot of questions to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, this one, Steamer mentioned having a sense of direction. Does that mean no more day-to-day management? A bit of a shot at what Jim kind of mentioned in the past. And Clay says, I'm a little scared of Steamer making moves. Seems like the guy overvalues toughness and doesn't know what a salary cap is. And I'm not necessarily sure that's true. And one thing that was also very clear, that when asked about autonomy and how much work they have to do, when Francesco said, yeah, there's move, but obviously big things will get discussed. So as far as reshaping the roster in a big way, I'm not sure you're going to see that with an interim management team. Yeah. Now, like I mentioned when the show began, could we see them do some peripheral stuff, right? Could they claim somebody off waivers? Like I mentioned, I believe there were internal discussions about Riley Nash this morning, and the plan was to talk to the coaching staff about the right shot centerman who can take draws to see if he's an option to pick up. So that's something the team might do. So they have the autonomy to do things like that. As far as making a big deal, not to say they may not look at things that come their way. I don't believe, however, the plan for this management team is to look at big ways to reshape the roster. And we can talk to Stan about this, too, when he joins us at 6.
Stan Smill will have an exclusive conversation with us coming up at 6 o'clock here on The People's Show. So we are waiting to hear from the new coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Bruce Boudreaux, who should be stepping up to the podium shortly to speak with media. He is a big factor here, and you know, Francesco mentioned he made the call. Stan mentioned this is a guy that's proven to get wins, and that's what we need, an experienced guy that has proven and can get this thing back on track. What do we expect to see out of Bruce Boudreaux with the Vancouver Canucks here? This is one of the winningest coaches in regular season NHL history. What do we expect him to be able to do with this roster?
I think what you're going to expect, first of all, and most importantly for the rest of the year, is going to be a an individual that can speak to these players. He is a player's coach. He's a guy that gets along very well with a number of the players that he's, you know, coached over the years, guys. So whether it's Washington, Anaheim, or Minnesota, you talk to people in those markets, you talk to people that have coached with him, his communication line is open. Is he fiery? Absolutely is. But he's going to lean on his best players, and he's going to expect a fair bit out of them. But that does give you an idea of what will be coming here in Vancouver, is that how do you get Elias Pettersson out of a funk? You're going to play him. How do you get, you know, Bo Horvat maybe when he's in a situation where he's not playing all that well or he's not producing? He does lean on his star players to produce, so I think that's a good sign. Now, he's going to come also with a fresh voice, and that's really important for Elias Pettersson based on what has been going on the last couple of months, just maybe changing it up here. But from a star perspective, Sat, I think this is a much-needed situation for the young Swedish superstar that the Canucks have. The rest of the year, it's Boudreaux's time to see what he can do with Pettersson, because he does have that track record of working with other players in other markets.
Well, he does lean on the top guys, like you mentioned, right? And he's going to do that, put them in offensive situations. And I thought it was really telling listening to Bo this morning talk about how they're going to get back to skating, being aggressive, moving their feet more. And listen, I threw this out on social media about we're going to find out very soon if this Canucks team is incapable of playing with pace or they were just so in their own heads based on the instruction, what was happening with the team, that they're slower than they actually are. This is going to tell us something. And I do think part of it is how you're playing and how you're overthinking. And this is something Yannick mentioned too, especially defensively. You start tweaking things and overthink things. All of a sudden your flow is completely gone. So Boudreaux comes in and completely simplifies things. And it's about get aggressive, do what you can offensively, create chances. And looking at a situation where he came into two situations midway through a season, right? So each time he came in, he made tweaks to how the team played. And both times, the team got to 500 and better. The best one he had was his first year with the Washington Capitals. He comes in after 21 games. Caps were 6-14-1. And the Capitals' underlying numbers that year were much stronger than what the Canucks have. Now, the Corsi was similar, but as far as, you know, expected goals and quality chances, the Caps were doing better. But one thing the Caps did not have in their favor when they made the change was they were giving up more quality chances than they were creating. And after Boudreaux came in, by the end of the season, they had improved it dramatically. And they were at a point where they were creating 55% of the high-danger chances as a team for the whole season, which tells you that over that spell, they were controlling about 60% of the high-danger chances. And this is something that's been part of his track record. What's the Canucks' biggest issue this year? Simply that scoring chance differential. Perhaps been a bit better at limiting some chances, but they're not making up for it by creating more chances. It has been very anemic, their chance creation. So that's one thing I'm looking to see right away. Now, the first few games will be adrenaline, excitement from the players, so we'll see what they do there. But over 10-15 games, forget everything else. Can the Canucks be a team that outchances their opposition consistently under Bruce Boudreaux? Because if they do, I think that's the main thing he can bring here to the collective team effort.
We know where the flaws lie on this team, right? Yep. And it's on the back end, but this should be a team that's still able to generate more offense than they have. Mm-hmm. Elias Pettersson with 0 5-on-5 goals. I mean, that's a situation. There's nowhere to go but up, right? So he has to get better at some point over the course of the season. You see him already working with Podkolzin and Garland in the morning skate today. But you know, playing fast, like being fast and playing fast are two different things. And this team felt like they played at a snail's pace sometimes. I think Boudreaux is going to have a big part in that. Here he is, Bruce Boudreaux, the new Vancouver Canucks head coach.
Press conference, maybe you can introduce yourself as you ask your question so he knows who to yell at later.
Brendan Batchelor from Sportsnet 650. Just your thoughts on taking over this role and the opportunity you've been afforded here.
Well, first of all, I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, I've been dying to get back since February 14th of 2 years ago. So, I mean, it's when approached, I thought this is perfect. I've always wanted a coach in Canada, and so this was going to be a great opportunity, and I jumped at it.
What do you think you have with this group of players?
Well, I mean, if you look on paper, there's a lot of good players here. I mean, everybody that's texted me, and I got so many texts in the last 2 days, you know, from hockey people say, you got a lot of things to work with here. There's a lot of good things to work with, you know. And they're saying all the stuff that you would normally say when you're texting a guy, oh, you can do it, you can do this and that. But, I mean, the one thing that's consistent is they're saying that there's a lot of good pieces to this team, and I totally agree.
John Garrett, Minnesota Fighting Saints.
I think I've seen you before.
Congratulations and welcome back to the NHL.
Thank you.
I know you need your skates sharpened.
Oh, my God, I thought I was going to die out there today.
You've always had the ability to make teams better offensively, and I played with you, and I knew you were a great offensive player. Do you think your playing style is reflected in your coaching style?
You know what? I don't think so. I mean, my philosophy is quite different. People ask me that all the time, and I said, I don't understand why you can't be a great offensive team and a great defensive team at the same time. When you have the puck, we're going. When you don't have the puck, we're checking to get the puck back. But I think most players, no matter how offensive they were when they played, when you become a coach, you start thinking a little more defensively on that side. But I think I know the offensive side, and I think we're going to try to be a very aggressive offensive team. But at the same time, we're going to be hopefully a responsible team in that we don't turn pucks over and we play very good in our own zone. I know my last year in Mini, I think at the time of the dismissal was, or the year and the year before, we were the number one team in the giving up the fewest high danger chances. It just so happened we were 31st in save percentage at that point. Not a good combination. So we want to play really good defensively, but I think that there's keys to the offensive players that I think I can help with, you know, as far as you know, what I see and what they could be doing a little bit better.
Ben Kuzma, Vancouver Province, Vancouver Sun, Post Media, Hockey News.
Everything.
A couple from me. Morning skate, at one point you were having a pretty good conversation with Brock Besser. You seem to have this ability, Bruce, to reach these young players on a different level. How important was it to just take a few minutes with a guy who's struggling? And what was your message to Brock?
Well, it's, one of it is because I haven't grown up yet myself. So, I mean, I think like young guys think. But, I mean, all I was telling Brock was there, he says, you know, man, every time you played against us, you scored and you were shooting. Let's get back to shooting. From the first game he played against Minnesota, I said, do you remember, you know, you scored two goals that game? And we didn't have a clue who you were. And that's the Brock Besser I want to see. And I think if he scores a goal or two, like, I mean, his confidence is going to come back. But it all starts with shooting the puck. If you're a shooter, let's shoot the puck. Let's not try to be cute. I had Ovechkin, and in his early years, he'd have 13 to 15 shots at the net a game, and maybe one would go in. But it's just shooting the puck. I mean, and when things don't go well, you try to be cute. You try to pinpoint like a 2-inch area in the net rather than just shooting at, you know, I call quads, the different quads in the net, just the top quarter of the net or the bottom quarter of the net. But I mean, I think that's all his problem is a little bit of confidence. And when he gets out of it, he'll start doing what he can do.
You have a history of riding your horses pretty well. Your first year in Mini, Granlund, Staal, Nino, and Zucker had a mammoth leap in goal production. Is that from something that you instilled in them or just playing them a lot?
I think they just had a good chemistry. I mean, with Eric, it was easy because he had just come from New York and he was a third-line left winger, and his whole life he's used to being the number one center and being the guy to lean on. And when we signed him and when I phoned him, I said, listen, I don't want you to be a third-line guy. I don't want you to be bringing young kids along. I want you to be our number one guy. And he just embraced that. And so he was happy to be playing there. With Granlund, Zucker, and Koivu, it was a great line that first year. And, I mean, they were all plus 30-plus and all had 60-plus points. And we could play them against every line. And sometimes the chemistry just fits. And I think the chemistry just fit with those guys.
Jeff Patterson, just your reaction, and I'm sure you've done a little homework on this team, when you see their killing penalties at 64% this season.
Not very good, is it? No, I mean, I think it's a big reason why they haven't had as much success as they'd like to. I mean, you just take last game, there was two goals, whether it's 5-on-3 or not. I mean, in Boston, they lost the game with two third-period power play goals. And you can go down the road. Their 5-on-5 game, if you look after 25 games, their plus minuses for their record are not bad. Not that you want to put all the stock into that, but you can see tendencies with that. But I mean, Scott Walker's going to come in and he's going to run the penalty killing. He's very good at it. And I mean, when we were at our Team Canada meetings last week, I mean, and I was so impressed with what he was doing. And I thought, okay, this guy would be great, you know, and I think he'll do a really good job with it.
Aaron, will he be on the bench tonight?
Yep, he'll be on the bench tonight. He's here. He got in at 10:30 or something this morning.
Bruce, Thomas Drance from The Athletic. With your coaching experience both in Anaheim and in Washington, you came in midseason while clubs were struggling. Do you have to change your approach or in any way alter your approach when you're coming in midseason versus when you're taking over at the start of a campaign?
Well, I don't think there's a coach alive that wouldn't rather have a whole training camp to get everything going, because I'm watching stuff today and go, oh yeah, I got to show that. Oh, I got to do that. Got to do that. You know, you're all over the place, and then you got to bring yourself back in and say, you know, I just got to take baby steps and work on one thing at a time. And I mean, today we did two drills today that I wanted to change up a little bit of what they did. But you just got to add it a little bit at a time. In Washington, it was easy because I had coached 7 of the players the year before. And so they just, you know, they grabbed on what I wanted to do. In Anaheim, I mean, it took about 10 days to get everything the way I wanted it. And then I think we went on a really good, 21-2-2 run after that, and to almost approach the playoffs, something of those numbers. And but it'll take a little bit of time because we play. Today is just a morning skate. We'll have a good practice tomorrow. Then you play again, and then you have another practice. Then you've got your 4 days a month that they get off, and I don't even know which ones they are yet. So, I mean, we'll have to go by then. I'll look at the schedule more tomorrow of when we're doing things all the time. So
with your situation, you've come in for the rest of the season, you have an additional year remaining on your deal. The math is obviously steep for this club at this point in the campaign, but what are your personal goals? Like what do you hope to achieve over the balance of this season?
Well, I mean, you'd really like to make it a winning team from here on in, and to get the guys happy, get the fan base happy again with them winning. And I mean, wherever that leads, we just don't want things to continue the way they were continuing. And if it ends up getting into a playoff spot, fine and dandy. That's our ultimate goal for everybody. I mean, I look at I'm a big believer in a lot of stuff, whether it's fantasy or not. But I mean, I look at St. Louis making the playoffs January 1st. I mean, I never think it's an impossibility. Like, I mean, what are we, 9 points out of a playoff spot now? Something around those numbers. I mean, if you gain 1 point a week, that doesn't seem as hard as saying, well, you got to be 12 games above 500. That means you got to have this record or whatever. So we're going to have a lot of short-term goals. And this week, starting today, we want to win the week. And that's our goal. So if we win 2 out of 3 this week, we'll be on the right track.
Coach, you talked about wanting to make the players happy again and needing to restore confidence. How do you do that in a team and in some of these young players who've really got off to kind of brutal starts?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's only one place they can go if they've had brutal starts, right? And I always think of it as, you know, like a golf game where you can have a brutal front 9, but then it's over. And then you start over on the back 9, you got to do over. It's like a new game most of the time. So as far as I'm concerned, all these guys have opportunities right now, and it's start over. I'm not going to look at somebody and say, geez, you weren't very good for the first 15 games, so you're not going to get a chance to play. Here, this is what you're supposed to be. Let's see what you've got.
So I'm Ian McIntyre from Sportsnet. I know Coach always has to read the room. That's pretty tough when everyone in the room is new. But what sense did you get from the guys about sort of where they are, confidence-wise, morale-wise?
I think today they had a real energetic morning skate. Like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, I've been working with my junior team, and they're not anywhere near as quick or good. But, I mean, these guys looked awful fast to me today. I was just dodging them. I was going, oh, my God, I'm going to get killed out here. But they looked like they were happy to be getting the do-over, to starting fresh, you know. And so hopefully that's the way they play today. We just want to be a team that is in your face all night long and playing aggressive and not sitting back. And if we can do that with the and that doesn't mean four guys up on the play or anything all the time and having odd man rushes against. That means just, you know, getting the forecheck really good and then always having support with your third man high. And I mean, so which is why I say, why can't you be good offensively? Why can't you be good defensively? We want people to go to the net and stop at the net and get in front of the goalie rather than doing flybys, because that's where you score goals. A lot of guys find that, I'm not scoring right now. It's because they're going to the net and then they're going for the big skate instead of stopping in front of the net and getting the stuff that comes there. So, I mean, we're hoping, you know, over time and in a very short period of time, that get that message across, and that's how they do it. So,
Bruce, David Gurley, Nation Network. I was just wondering, what's the most intriguing thing about this new job that you're taking on right now? Like, what's the most intriguing thing about the challenge ahead for you?
Well, I mean, you know, we're not in first place, so that's a definite challenge to rise up in the standings. I mean, it's a challenge being in Canada, like seeing. I know what the pressure is and what people think of in hockey there. That's a real challenge for me. But I mean, what I want to do is I love young guys getting better. We got a young team, so I mean we want to consistently get better and better and better. And that's for a coach, that's very gratifying when you see guys improving, like on a daily basis and coming to the. We want them to come to the rink rather than, I think when you're losing, it's go, oh my God, I got to go to practice again. I don't want to go there. But I mean, we want them excited about being here.
Coach DeGener of Global Sports, do you have a timeline or a number amount of games where you look at the style that you want to play and whether or not you have the personnel to achieve your goals?
Well, I mean, I don't have a number, but I mean, I always used to think, quite frankly, when I was in Washington, we had a big, strong physical team, so I loved playing that kind of way. And when it went to Anaheim, it was the same way. We had a big, strong team. When it went to Minnesota, your question would have been something that they would have asked because they were small and quick. But we played the same way, and it worked the same way. I mean, we don't need bone-crunching hits, but we need to be in their face so they can make mistakes, and we take the time and space away. So, I mean, I'm going to try to play the same way that we've played. Now, if I have any good traits, it's being able to read the room, and if it doesn't work, we change it. And but I think if we do the right things the way I think that they can be done, that success hopefully will follow.
Coach Harmon Dow from The Athletic, when you talk about implementing some of these changes, obviously you mentioned right now not having a lot of time. What's your process look like for slowly integrating some of that, as well as evaluating some of the individual players you have to work with and how you want to deploy them and make sort of those kinds of changes?
Well, if this was training camp, you'd start day one, work on the defensive zone and everything else. So, I mean, I think tomorrow that's what we'll work on. We worked a little bit on the forecheck today and how we come back into the D zone. The neutral zone will be maybe two practices away, or maybe you can accomplish two of them in one practice. So it shouldn't take long to get them to play the way I want to play, but it's the little things that are going to take some time. Is like, how do you that fall by the wayside a little bit? Is that, for example, defensive zone faceoffs? Who do you want to take where? Each coach has a different philosophy. I mean, and you can't throw everything at them all at once, because I know, you know, when I was young, like, you threw everything at me at once, I wouldn't remember any of it. So you want to get the one thing down pat and then move on to the second thing.
Bruce, you spoke at length about your conversation with Brock Besser and what you're hoping to help him accomplish to get out of the funk that he's been in to start the season. Elias Pettersson is sort of the big headline item that everyone talks about in this market, his slow start through 25 games. From what you've seen, Where can you help him get back to the level he's usually been at in the NHL?
Well, you know what? He's next on my list to talk to once I'm done with the hundreds of people in here. So I want to find out where he's at, more importantly. I know how good he can be and how good he has been and how he's, you know, I mean, against my teams where he'd score an awful lot. And he was a really dynamic player. And I want to know if there's reasons that he wasn't or hasn't been that player right now, whether it's his line combinations, whether it's his partners, whether it's how he was treated, whether it's how much ice time he's had. I mean, there's things in his mind that that I want to know about that. I'm a big believer. I mean, somebody came up to me today and said, listen, why don't you try me penalty killing? And I'm saying, I'll try you penalty killing, you know, but if it doesn't work, don't ask me again. You know, like, I mean, like, a lot of guys want more ice time. Well, I'll give you more ice time, but if you don't do any good with that, then that's going to be it. So, I mean, I really believe that players are know the game nowadays, and so they see what's right in front of them on the ice. And I'll take suggestions if it makes sense. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but, I mean, it's like a... I'm not trying to make everybody happy either. I have a sign, always had a sign in my office that said, I don't know the secret to losing, but I know the secret to, I don't know the secret of winning, but the secret of losing is trying to make everybody happy. So we're going to put the best players on the ice as much as we have to. And every game is like a Stanley Cup game for us. If we have to use some players 30 minutes one night and give them the day off, that's what we're going to do. We're not, if four lines are running, then four lines are going to go. But I mean, we're going to do what it takes to win. And that's, I think that's what we're going to be trying to accomplish. Yes. Sorry, I didn't get back to you.
All good. Okay. I just wanted to ask you about your reputation as a player's coach. Kind of the feedback is that you're a laid-back guy. How much do you think that helps when you come into this mid-season situation? Is there, because there's almost an arc to it when you come in midstream?
I mean, I don't know if that's a misnomer. Like, I mean, I'm not a hard-ass kind of guy, but at the same time, you have to play the right way. It's just how you handle it. Like, I mean, when you're talking to the players, like, I mean, I think as far as being a player's coach, I mean, I understand playing 17 years, what it's like, I think, in all situations, being called up, being sent down, playing a lot of minutes to playing no minutes, to being first line player to being last fourth line player. So I think I've understood every situation, so I can identify with a lot of the situations that players come through, and that's what makes me be able to communicate a little bit better with most of the guys. What was the second part of the question?
No, just that. But my other question was just, you know, you've been texted and you've got a sense of some of the good pieces that are here.
Yes.
Have you got a sense of where this roster's shortcomings are, or would you rather just kind of sit back and observe?
I think it's one of those that, I mean, I can't make that comment without being right behind the bench watching it firsthand. I could see it on TV on multiple occasions and watching highlights, but you don't get the true sense right there. I mean, a lot of times you see the frustration in the players from last game, or when you have the post-game interviews and you can listen to them, and you sense a lot of frustration on the players. But I'll be able to better tell tomorrow whether guys get it really quickly or whether you have to really show them a lot and be patient with them. Some guys, we did a drill today, even in one of the two, and guys were getting it right off the bat. And I told Scott today, I said, you know what? I think these guys are smart guys. They get it right off the bat. And I wasn't explaining it very good on the board. So, I mean, that's good.
Coach, Daniel Wagner, Vancouver is awesome. When you first came into the league with the Washington Capitals, you came into a very similar situation to what you're coming into now in terms of the record and the place in the standings. And you talked about instilling confidence. Is keeping that playoff dream alive part of that, or is it smaller steps necessary?
I mean, it starts with smaller. You take care of the smaller steps, and the bigger steps will take care of themselves. But right now, we just want to get playing better. And like I said, if we can win two out of three, and then you win two out of three, and then you win two out of three, or you keep winning the weeks, and then all of a sudden you look up in January and you go, hey, we're only 4 points up. Then all of a sudden you can start looking at it. But if you say, hey, we have to win 12 in a row, that's a pretty daunting task. So I try to stay away from the big things and try to make it all more palatable sort of thing that they can buy into and say, hey, all we have to do is play good tonight, and let's worry about tomorrow.
Bruce, Vic Nazar from Sportsnet 650. Is there a piece of advice that you were given about coaching in a Canadian market that you value?
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
Is there a piece of advice someone gave you about coaching in a Canadian market that you value?
Yeah, beware. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty well it. I mean, I just know the passion. I'm a Toronto boy, and I know the passion of all the Canadians, and I get it every time I go home. So, I mean, I understand how important it is to us Canadians, hockey. It's our sport. Like, I mean, I can go to Anaheim, and there's 13 different pro teams in a 20-minute radius, but right now, this is it in Vancouver. Like, I mean, as a main sport, and I know how important it is to all the fans, and so I get it, and now let's just see how I handle it.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll
There is Bruce Boudreau speaking with the media for the first time. Beware of the Canadian markets, as he finished off there with a question from our very own Vic Nazar. We'll come back and react to some of that on the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda. If you want a pair of tickets to see Alice Cooper in concert, well, this is your chance. April 16th at the Abbotsford Center. Caller number 3. 604-280-0650. You will win a pair of tickets to see Alice Cooper in concert at the Abbotsford Center April 16th, 2022. Caller number 3, 604-280-0650. More on Bruce Boudreau next on The People's Show.
Now back to The People's Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
Shout out to the password goat, Vicky and Poco, winning a pair of tickets to see Alice Cooper in concert April 16th at the Abbotsford Center. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets each day this week on The People's Show. Normally we'll do it with Not Saying, Just Saying, is which we usually do at this point in the show, around 4:45. Not going to have that time today with the different news conferences, hearing from Francesco Aquilini and Stan Smeal. Smeal will join us for an exclusive conversation coming up after 6, and then we just heard from Bruce Boudreau in that last segment. Takeaways, first impressions of Bruce Boudreau.
Very refreshing. I think that's the message today, really, both from Stan Smeal and from Bruce Boudreau. Some positivity, some accountability, and some reality moving forward here, right? It is about the actions to come. And how many times have we seen great press conferences, people say all the right things, do all the right things, and then when it comes to your actual actions, when it comes to delivering,
yeah,
we haven't seen it happen. So the press conference, being good with the media, doesn't mean anything. But for an organization that has sorely needed a refresh, and for a group of players and the team as a whole that really needed something new to look at, and a fan base that needed something to cling on to, a very refreshing moment here today with Smeal, but even more so with Bruce Boudreau, with how well he can connect with an audience.
Yeah, that communication, we saw, you know, had a conversation with him last week as well. You can tell how, you know, how open he is to having meaningful conversations. When you look at those players especially, because he did mention Brock Besser, right? Having a conversation with him earlier today and talking about get back to shooting. The guy that we played against in Minnesota, we didn't know who you were, but you put up points. You put up goals against us. Go back to being that guy. The conversation that he mentioned after the media conference he's going to have with Elias Pettersson, going to talk to him and see where he's at. Ask questions first. You know, we heard that from Bradshaw as well when he rolled into town. It hasn't worked so well for maybe Bradshaw from the defensive side of things early on this year, but that two-way street is important. And being able to connect with your star players, the ones that are going to make you a relevant team, that is very important with where the confidence of both of those guys in question, you know, we talk about are at right now, Reach. So I think, you know, communication with the media is fine. We all know that about Bruce Boudreau, but what we've heard, you know, from other teams as well is that he can connect with the players, he can talk to them, he can have them believe in him and vice versa. And we're starting to get a little sense of that even on day one. Let's see how it translates for the players.
It's interesting to hear a coach talk just so openly and freely and candidly. You know, that wasn't Travis's MO. And hey, every coach is going to have their way of doing things, but especially lately, you know, Travis, adversarial at times, you know, everything was, no decision was even remotely hinted at in a press conference or any conversation with the media. It's not going to be that way, it feels like, with Bruce, at least not to start. But the big thing, just from a way of playing, why can't you be a good offensive team and a good defensive team at the same time? And we've all felt, at least to some level, that maybe the Canucks are playing a little too cautious this year at times, and that's just not going to be the case with Bruce Boudreau, who wants to be aggressive.
Well, they should be aggressive, right? You have to have a clear identity. And listen, it's right to say you want to be good defensively, and of course, you're trying to be good defensively. You want to have it both ways as much as possible. But what do you lean into?
Yeah.
Right? As a team. And Bruce was honest about, yeah, it's going to take a few games to implement everything, right? And to bring the neutral zone stuff, the defensive zone stuff, who to take draws in which positions, like all the little details will take some time to unroll and talk to the guys and roll that out. And
said it took him at least 10 games in Anaheim last time he did this.
And this, you know, 10, 15 games is probably the range to look at to see how things come together with Bruce Boudreau. But I know something that you heard as well here, Reach. This is the guy they needed, though, to change the message from the previous coach.
Yeah.
Polar opposite as far as how they approach things, and also with the emphasis on their play. Yeah, Steamer talked about they want to be a team that's tough to play against again. And yes, Bruce mentioned that they want to be a team that's in your face. Maybe not physical, but just taking away your time and space to force you into making mistakes. Do we see that from the Canucks tonight? Just a team that is a bit more aggressive and not plodding as much when they're trying to go through the neutral zone and transition.
What I liked about his, you know, conference there, media conference, was that he said, I'm open to ideas. Mm-hmm. But if you come with a suggestion about more ice time or playing a certain role, you better deliver. Because if we do it once and it doesn't work, I'm probably not going to go back to it. So open mind is important. You know, we've debated and talked about, hey, why isn't Travis Green changing something in his lineup? Why isn't he trying this out? It seems like, you know, Bruce Boudreau is open to a lot of things. He's not going to shoot everything down right away. But there's an expectation that he is a, you know, player's coach. He's not necessarily a hard ass. He said that himself, but everybody's got a job to do. Everybody needs to play the right way. So a bit of an open mind coming into this, especially for a team that's searching for answers right now. That's not a bad strategy, but I liked his whole, you know, I think the hashtag's already going around right now. Hashtag win the week.
Yeah.
That's Bruce Boudreau's motto right now, starting off in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we're not doing, I'm not saying, I'm just saying today, but I'm not saying the Canucks are going to make the playoffs. I'm just saying Bruce Boudreau is the perfect man for this team right now. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that, it, you know, just talking to a lot of people over the last day, this is the breath of fresh air that this roster needed. Things got heavy. You heard Stan Smeal mention it. Guys are pointing the finger everywhere as things got worse and worse and worse. I think the connection with Travis wasn't, it had deteriorated, and it looked pretty apparent on the ice. I'm not sure this team ever really fully recovered from whatever happened last year, you know, and it bled into this year a little bit. But all of a sudden, you have Bruce Boudreau, who's clearly a player's coach, is going to make it a simpler game. He's going to simplify the message. That is desperately what this team needs. A guy who's not going to, you know, make the offensive side of the puck seem like it's a bad thing necessarily. And Travis didn't necessarily do that, but it was clear there was a focus on trying to shore things up defensively over the last little while. And I just don't think that this team has that in their identity. And so to switch to Bruce Boudreau, who's more open to those sorts of things, it's much needed. So I really do think that he is the perfect person to take this Canucks team forward in the here and now.
Perfect personality, yeah. Right? And perfect counter part yes. to what you saw from Travis Green as a head coach, right? Not necessarily to be critical, but just as part as having a different kind.
It's like getting a message for the same message mm-hmm. or a same, not maybe the same message, but a message sent the same way for the last, you know, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Eventually it wears thin. Eventually it doesn't really hit the same way. You do have to change it up, right? For all the people back in the day mm-hmm. that were saying, oh, Alain Vigneault is, you know, his message has gone stale. John Tortorella needs to come in. And like, that didn't work out right. But you know, what you do need to change is sometimes the execution and sometimes that messaging needs to change. The plan needs to change. And to your point, Sat, like, this is a good polar opposite. Now, we'll see what this means on the ice, though, because I think if we look at that defense, we understand what the defense is.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Boudreau might be able to change some things, but he's not going to be able to change the personnel there.
Tyler Myers and Tucker Pullman are not Jared Spurgeon and Matt Dumba.
No, they're not. But for the rest of the year, can you get Besser, can you get Pettersson going on the offensive side of things? If you give a little bit more freedom there, does that give them confidence? Because that's the most important, you know, piece moving forward here is Elias Pettersson. Can you get back to being what you were or close to it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Going through the defenses that he's had in the past, I'm not saying the Canucks have this great defense here. I'm just saying I don't think they should be playing as poorly as they have. And
100%.
As bad as, you know, we can talk about the personnel being, I've seen coaches do more with less.
Yeah. And look, Boudreau, the regular season record speaks for itself. I expect this team to play faster. I expect them to be more aggressive and a more simpler game coming your way for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see how quickly it happens. LA Kings are on the docket tonight here at Rogers Arena. First game in charge for Bruce Boudreau. Coming up, Frank Saravalli will join us. We'll have Stan Smeal for an exclusive conversation after 6 o'clock in the pregame. It's the People Show on Sportsnet 650.